Today on More to Life, we're talking about the faith struggles. Spiritual struggles, whether you're dealing with doubts, or dry spells, or your faith is complicating your life or relationships, let us help. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Fumbling Faith. We're talking about spiritual struggles. We all have them. It's not a question of if you're struggling with your faith. It's kind of a question of how, really. Because if we're not struggling, wrestling with our faith, then we're not really living it. Because the whole point of faith is to bring our life and all the different broken parts of it together, whether that's internally or externally, and that takes some work. So we're talking about those spiritual struggles, whether you're dealing with more internal struggles, say doubts or dry spells, having a hard time feeling God's love, hearing His voice, experiencing His presence, or if your faith is complicating your relationships and causing conflict between you and the people you care about, who maybe are a little resistant to either the faith in general or the way you're trying to share it or live it.
You know, perhaps you're feeling enlivened by your faith. You have a desire for God in your life, but your spouse isn't in the same place, and they're pushing back a bit, or at least not nurturing your faith life the way you wish they would. Perhaps the children are dragging their feet, or you're not sure how to get them involved or filled with the same love of God that you have. If they're young, that can be difficult, and it can be very difficult. If they're adult kids and somehow they're pushing back against the faith that you thought you instilled in their lives, and now you're not feeling that sense of connection with them. You're feeling like there's something between you. You don't feel like you can totally be yourself, and you're concerned about their lives, both this life and their eternal life. Maybe it's friends that you wish you could share your faith with. We can often have situations in our lives where our faith, because we have faith in God, makes us feel a little bit more lonely, makes us feel a little bit more disconnected from people, makes us feel like we have to defend ourselves and our God and our church. All of those things, both the internal and the relational, can really create spiritual struggles for us. And if you're dealing with any of that in your life, we can help you take the next steps to solving those problems, finding more peace and connection with God and with others and your internal self. Let us help you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, and I think that, again, we're not really asking, are you struggling in your faith? It's really a matter of how are you struggling. And the reason I say that, again, is because faith is all about bringing all the different parts of our life together, and that takes some hard work. It's always a struggle when it comes to really living out our faith. And I think that might surprise a lot of people, because we tend to think that if we're struggling in our faith, or our specific relationship with God, or if faith is causing conflict in our relationships, we often feel like we're doing something wrong. You know, that we're, and it's possible that we need to change our approach in some way. I'm not suggesting that, but I am saying that, you know, thinking that we're bad Christians somehow because we're having faith struggles, or feeling like we're disappointing God because it's not all working like we thought it would in our heads, is a lie, because it's hard to live our faith in our everyday lives. It's hard to walk that faith journey with confidence and to work through the things that God is asking us to work through as we strive to connect with Him more deeply and invite Him into our daily lives more fully. So give us a call, 877-573-7825, and tell us how faith might be complicating your life or relationships. Whether you're going through a tough time, struggling to feel God's presence, experience His love, or discern His will, whether you're wrestling with doubts or maybe have gone through something that's caused you to question your faith or God's love. Maybe, as Lisa was talking about, your faith is causing some conflict in your relationships. You know, maybe your spouse is hostile toward your attempts to live your faith, or your kids are pushing back or rejecting the faith, or your family or other people you care about are criticizing you for your faith. Whatever the challenges are, let us help you overcome the struggles you are facing as you try to bring your faith and life together. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Each day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how can this theology help me deal with the practical aspects of integrating my faith in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. So, when he was Pope, St. John Paul asked a pretty big question. Basically, he said, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that became what we call the theology of the body.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that faith isn't something that we just add on to our life, like taking an extra elective and adding it on to our core curriculum. It's meant to be woven into every part of who we are. St. John Paul II wrote, "The body is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine." Our bodies, every cell, every thought, every desire, every choice are meant to reveal God's love at work in us.
So all that means that faith isn't separate from our work, relationships, or even our struggles. It's the thread that ties everything together, the thing that leads to what St. John Paul called the integration of the person. You know, faith gathers all the broken, scattered pieces of our lives and teaches us how to let them move in harmony with God's love.
Of course, that kind of integration, as Greg said earlier, takes work. And sometimes faith actually makes life, well, it feel harder, because it shines light on what's broken in our hearts and in our relationships so that God can heal it.
Faith invites us to cooperate with grace, even when we're confused or hurting. You know, when we can't feel God or hear His voice, that doesn't mean He's gone. It means He's asking us to lean in a little closer so that He can teach us to listen in new and more intimate ways.
And even when we are struggling to find Him, God is always intimately present in our lives, particularly in the Eucharist, where He unites Himself to every cell of our being. If we can't sense Him, we can still pray, "Lord, I know You're here and that You're speaking to me right now. Teach me to find You, to hear You, and to unite everything I do and say to Your plan for me."
You know, I think that's the heart of living out the principles that St. John Paul taught through the theology of the body, letting faith integrate our whole selves so that our very lives, our bodies, and our relationships can become living signs of God's presence in us and in the world. All right, sounds great in paper, right? But how do we actually live this stuff out when we're struggling in our own relationship with God, when we go through things that make us doubt God's love or His presence in our lives, when the people we love start pushing back against our faith or rejecting our efforts to live our faith or share our faith with them? Let's talk it out on our show today titled Fumbling Faith. you're facing spiritual struggles, whether you're dealing with those doubts or dry spells, or your faith is complicating your life or relationships in some way, let us help. 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we bring all the struggles that we face as we try to live our faith in our lives and our relationships. We ask you, Lord, to be with us, to help us to know that you are always present to us, even when we struggle to feel your presence or hear your voice or know your will. Help us to see the challenges we face as we try to bring our faith and life together as an invitation from you to heal those struggling or broken parts in our life or relationships, to not see them as you abandoning us or you persecuting us in some way, but really you shining that light on the parts of our life and relationships that you want to heal, that you want to bring into deeper communion with the plan you have for our lives, so that as we cooperate with your grace and live our faith more fully in every part of our lives and relationships, we can bear witness to your will and to your glory and power in everything we do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking about faith fumbles as we struggle to live out our faith in our daily lives. But as you're coming off of that prayer, I just want to remind everybody that Pope Leo XIV has asked for all of us to pray the Rosary daily in this month of the Rosary. Pray it on your own, or better still, with your family, for world peace. That is the particular intention that he is asking us to offer that Rosary for. So if you'd like to pray with a friend, you can download the Ave Maria radio app and tap prayer to let Father John Ricardo lead you and maybe your family through the mysteries of the Rosary. Check it out on the Ave Maria radio app if you tap prayer. But do pray the Rosary every day in general, and especially in this month of the Rosary, for Pope Leo's intention for world peace.
Amen.
And with that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about fumbling faith, those times when we experience spiritual struggles either in our own hearts or the struggles that come from trying to live our faith out loud in our life and relationships. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, I'm getting up in years, and I'm getting closer to meeting our Lord. And as I get closer, it seems like my children are resisting and not practicing their faith. So they're in their 40s and have children, and some of them are baptized and some are not. And I'm just taking it very personally that they're not practicing their faith. And, my husband and I brought them up in the faith, and we practice, we're always inviting them and encouraging them, but they just, anytime I bring up, maybe baptizing my grandson, I can just see my daughter just shutting down. Just in her eyes, she just almost, I don't know, it just, I can see it in her eyes. I can see her resistance, that hardened heart, that they talk about in the
scripture. So have you ever asked about what's going on with that?
I have tried to talk to her about it, and I'm just kind of wondering if she's thinking that there's something that God won't forgive her for, or
well, you don't.
Has she said that?
Yeah.
No, she has not.
Well, then you can't assume that.
So I mean,
talk to me about how have you tried to introduce that topic? How have you tried to ask that question?
I invite her to, they want to celebrate Christmas, right? Well, mm-hmm. Let's go to Mass together. I think if I can get her into church often enough that our Lord will open up her heart and to the beauty of the faith. And I.
But how? But that's a different thing from saying to her, "Hey, you know, I know when I talk about faith stuff, I just see you kind of shutting down, and I guess I'm just wondering where you're at with all of that. I mean, I'd like to understand your story and get a better sense of kind of where you're at with all of that, and why, you know, my suggesting, you know, these faith kind of things, you know, seems not just unappealing to you, but even maybe a little offensive. Like, where are you coming from with all that? I mean, have you ever just asked that question?
Not in that way.
I think you need to. That's where you need to start. And so two things. All right. First of all, we want to make sure that the relationship is deep enough to contain the conversation you want to have with your kids. What I mean by that is that if when you talk to them, you just talk about the weather and what they did in the week and what's going on current event-wise, to go from that to talking about faith and values and life choices is a huge leap. So we want to make sure that in general, we're talking about lots of different things and inviting them to really share with us, not just talking at them, but really asking questions that show our interest in their life and the way we're living, even if we disapprove of it. We're trying to understand where they're coming from and what they're going through and what's going on and where they're at on every level, right? And really making it safe for them to share with us. So that's number one, really building up the relationship as much as you possibly can and having as much contact and making that contact about listening and supporting and connecting. Right? Because unless they feel those things, they're not going to feel safe opening up to you about the deeper stuff. The second thing is really getting to know their story. You know, as parents of adult children, we can take it personally and feel offended or even insulted, you told our screener.
We really can, and we totally get where that reaction is coming from. And we have all sorts of thoughts in our heads about what knuckleheads they are for not following our wisdom and what we taught them in life. And we can see the destructive path that they may or may not be on, and it scares us, and it does make us feel insulted.
And then we end up pushing religious practices on them because we think, well, they were raised in it. Of course they should want that. But what we end up doing is ignoring their own experience of those things. You know, we think we raised our kids in the faith because we did faith things, but we didn't necessarily help them have the kind of personal relationship with God that they need to have to own their faith. And that's not our fault. I'm not blaming you for that. I'm not saying shame on you or anything like that. What I'm saying is there was something either that happened or that was lacking in their formation or that they were struggles that they weren't sure how their faith applied to that we weren't able to help them with. And they, as they tried to figure that stuff out on their own, faith made less and less sense to them. And unless we understand what that is and really understand and really empathize with that very real struggle that they have, they're going to think that we don't get it. And everything we say about faith, about faith practices, about God, it's going to bounce off of them because they just think we can't possibly relate to what they've been through, what they think. They think we're being simplistic and silly, and they just blow us off, you know. But if you're able to ask the way I put it and say, you know, look, when I mention these kinds of things, I just see you deflate, you know, and I guess I'm just wondering, you know, what about this just seems not just unappealing to you, but maybe even a little offensive. I'm not wanting to put you on the spot. I just really want to understand you know what you've been through and why you think that, you know, the faith that I tried to bring up and doesn't really relate to your life anymore.
And Kathleen, and for anyone else who's going through this problem, and if you are, feel free to call in because each person's family dynamic is different. But if there's part of you that says, I don't want to talk that deeply to my child, I don't want to know the answers, we don't normally talk that way, that would be awkward, you have to ask God to give you the humility to do that, because we need to be willing to sacrifice your comfort to go deeper with your adult children so you can help them overcome those hurdles and you can heal your relationship with them as we're trying to heal their relationship with God.
We have to go to break now, but I'd invite you to check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversation with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, to learn more about how to bridge that gap. But I think these suggestions will at least get you started. Learn more about having meaningful or difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to head out, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about fumbling faith, those spiritual struggles that we're having either internally or the struggles we're having when we try to bring our faith and life and relationships together. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Stick around for that and a whole lot more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Fumbling Faith, as we talk about spiritual struggles, whether those are internal struggles with doubts and other things, or those external struggles as we try to live our faith in our life and relationships. 877-573-7825. Right now, we're joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Yeah, Dill Bonahy of the...
We're trying here, Bill.
We're doing our best, man. So, Bill, welcome to More to Life. You wanted to share some insights about this topic that you take from a song that means
yes,
a lot.
Yes. These are... thanks for that glorious intro. I hope this is all recorded. You know, when we get into nested problems and, you know, big bird's nests of issues with relationships or struggles, personal, social, music is such a healing balm for me. And this is a song. It's a secular piece by a folk singer. I just love it. It's called Soft, Gentle, and Brilliant by Corey Kilgannon. And what I love is it gets me out of my own head for a bit. And what John Paul II would call, it gets us into the phenomenology, the world around us and how God speaks to us through it. So just a little bit from the song. He goes through creation, like the red bird's stunning feathers, the horse's unmatched strength, the Rockies towering, and all this. And he says, the sun and moon swirl in a dance. He says, I know you're there. I know you're watching, though I don't feel you, and I don't live like I want to. You still care, though, Lord, I'm prone to wander. I'm hardly listening. You're always calling. And he goes on to sort of look at nature, and he looks at the fall, beautiful season many of us are in right now with the leaves changing. And he talks about they're a sign, and they fall into the ground, but they bring forth new life. I just, thinking about the issues that we struggle with, internal, external, on your topic today, creation, and John Paul II loved it. It is singing to us. It is saying something about you can trust, like, okay, right now it feels like a death, or there's a real challenge, a real struggle, but there's, if we listen and look, eyes wide open, hearts open, something good is coming, no matter what. And I just want to put it out there for your listeners. It's such a healing song for me. I love it. Corey Kilgannon, Soft, Gentle, and Brilliant.
It really is hitting that nail right on the head.
Well, and Bill, you know, I want to ask you this, you know, in the time that we have left, that just people often struggle to hear God's voice or to feel his presence. We think that God should speak to us in a certain way. Mm-hmm. But what you're really talking about here through this song and what the Theology of the Body really reflects is that God speaks to us through experience. and we need to learn how to hear him in that. How can we begin to, if you will, you know, tune our antenna into that way God's speaking to us through the world, through our experience of daily life?
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we're waiting for the voice of Morgan Freeman or something. Like we're going to hear God really crystal clear. But the mystics and Mother Teresa and St. John of the Cross, they say God's language is silence. Okay, wow, what does that mean? It means if we're quiet, we do hear. We hear with the voice of the ear of the heart, Mother Teresa would say, right? The ear of the heart. So when I look at creation right now, going through a kind of paschal mystery, the autumn leaves falling and dying, what is he saying? We can say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We can say that to all of creation, his first book. And I think that's what it means. It's getting back into that natural rhythm that we're tempted not to listen to anymore. We just grab our phone, we ask Siri or Google or Alexa for the quick answer. I think this is what it means. It means being attentive to the voice of creation and God's voice in it.
Powerful invitation. Bill, I want to thank you so much for being with us and reminding us of all the ways that God speaks to us and pointing us toward that great song. If folks would like to learn more about what the Theology of the Body is doing and the courses that it's offering, where can we go for more information?
Yeah, TOBinstitute.org. We've got some courses coming up this fall.
Perfect. TOBinstitute.org to learn more about how the Theology of the Body can help you bring your faith and life together. TOBinstitute.org. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Fumbling Faith, as we talk about spiritual struggles, internal and external, and how to overcome them through God's grace. 877-573-7825.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Why are some married couples happy while others struggle? You might think that happy couples argue less and resolve issues more efficiently than unhappy couples. But in fact, research suggests that both happy and unhappy couples argue about as much and struggle similarly with problem solving. The real difference is that happy couples consciously work toward maintaining their relationship and emotional health. For example, they create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together on a daily and weekly basis. Happy couples also look for ways to help each other out from day to day, little things that might make the other person's day easier or more pleasant. And then, when conflict breaks out, as it inevitably does in any human relationship, they realize that the most important thing isn't solving the conflict, but how they come to that resolution. Happy couples take care of each other while they go through that conflict so they can work to find solutions together. Marriage isn't easy, but the good news is that with a little work, any couple can find real happiness together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you'd like faithful help for your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled Fumbling Faith. We're talking about spiritual struggles, and we all have them. I mean, in fact, if we're living our faith, there's a good chance we're struggling with it. Because faith is all about bringing our life all together. And that takes a lot of work. And there are a lot of struggles involved in that. Whether you are having internal faith struggles, struggling with doubts, wondering where God is, having a hard time feeling his presence or hearing his voice or knowing his will, or external faith struggles where it's causing conflict or difficulties in your relationships or your life in some other way, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Atlanta.
Anne, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. Yes, I'm a Catholic, a very devout Catholic. I like to go to Mass daily, and I live nearby a church that has adoration daily. So I enjoy
that. Oh, you're very blessed.
Activity.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Yeah, so I'm retired, and my husband is retired, and my husband is not Catholic, doesn't really participate in any religion. And, you know, it gives me a hard time about it sometimes. You know, you're always at church, you're always this and that. And
I have a question for you.
I'm going, or I tell him I'm going somewhere else, you know. So he...
Sure. Oh, wow. Okay. So how long in your marriage, because I'm assuming you've been married for quite a while, you're retired.
Yeah, almost 50 years.
Uh-huh. Almost 50 years. So when in your 50-year marriage did faith become this important to you? Did you go into this with this faith and it's been this struggle for 50 years with him? Is this something that kind of you reverted to or had an igniting of that kind of threw him for a loop? What happened there?
No, I've always been faithful, but I've worked, you know, I worked full time all these years, so I didn't have the opportunity sometimes to go to daily Mass. I would go maybe once during the week, maybe on the weekends, you know, of course on the weekends, but, wasn't able to go every day in the morning like I am now. I was a cancer survivor of about 30 years, and after that, you know, I always had faith, but that strengthened my faith and ignited it even more after that. So I've been, you know, going to Mass and involved in church activities on a limited basis, but now the last year on a more intense basis because I have the time. Yes, I have the time.
And has he just started teasing you about all of this in this last year of you doing more, or has it been threaded through your whole relationship?
Kind of more because he's retired now and he's home a lot. So I think that's
so the first question I've got for you is, let's take it off faith for just a second. And when it comes to other stuff in your relationship, like where you value something, I mean, anything, like, you know, I mean, even if it was like knitting or going to, you know, some other activity, you know.
Pickleball, that's big around here, whatever it is.
Something that he didn't care about, but you did. Are you guys able to join around those things? Is he able to, like, see the value in those things, or does he just dismiss those two because they're important to you but not him?
Yeah, I think basically just those two. We don't really do any other activities. So I think it's just kind of those two he kind of hones in on.
Well, right, but you say you don't do many other things. And so that's the flip side of it. Here's what I'm getting at, okay, is that a lot of times this kind of faith difference isn't really about faith, it's about respect. Because when couples respect mm-hmm. each other, they try to understand the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the other, and the things that each other finds true, good, and beautiful. And when they struggle mm-hmm. with that respect, one of two things happens. Either there's conflict around the things that they don't share in common, or they just lead increasingly separate lives because, well, we just don't like the same things and can't really understand what's good about each other's things, and so we just do our own thing. And it sounds to me like that's what you're describing.
Sort of. Now, we have grandchildren that we spend a lot of time with together. I guess that's probably the most that we do together is we spend time with them. You know, we like to go to movies and things because of some health issues. We're not able to do, you know, some more active type of games, you know, like pickleball or tennis.
Sure,
or,
well, sure. But, you know, what I'm hearing here and is sort of...
You were
going to say... Go ahead, yeah.
But he what?
Yeah. Well, we used to bowl together, but he had shoulder problems, so now we can't do that.
Okay.
So there were some things that we did together that, you know, we don't do anymore. Just for
right, but I guess what I'm getting at then is if something's important to you but not to him, is he usually able to mm-hmm. come around to see what's good about it, or does he usually just either reject it or resist it?
Sometimes just ignores it and then sometimes resists, yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a process for actually coming to a place where he appreciates the good in that thing. And that's what I'm talking about of a failure of respect. This is bigger than a faith problem. This is an issue where you guys have been kind of working around the lack of respect in the marriage.
And you've been so busy working and doing things that you've been able to just kind of shoo it aside, like just brush it under the rug. It's okay, it's fine, because you didn't have that much time when you saw each other. And now you're kind of looking it dead in the eye, and he's...
And God's inviting you to heal that, to address that. So there are two things I want you to do. I'm not going to suggest here that you stop going to daily mass or adoration or any mm-hmm. other things you do, but I would like you to ask your husband, look, you know, if I didn't go to mass this morning, what is it that you'd want to do with me? What is it? How is it that you'd like to spend time together? How is my going to church upsetting your life in any way? Like, don't ask in a challenging way. Ask him, you know, I really want to understand, what is it that you would imagine we'd be doing together if I wasn't putting this time into church?
What would you like to be doing? You know, don't do it in a challenging way. I think he'd be surprised if you said, if I didn't go to church this morning, what would you like to be doing with me? That doesn't mean you have to skip Mass. Mass is, you know, on a weekday is under an hour usually, especially since it's close to you. You could say, great, like if he said, oh, we'd work on this project, or oh, we'd have coffee together, or say, great, as soon as I get home, let's make that date and have coffee together, or as soon as... If he's trying to let you know he wants more time with you and is actually sort of jealous of your relationship with God, there are ways to work on that time together and ignite your relationship. But if he's just trying to run you down,
well,
you'll
figure that out.
Pick that out from what his answers are.
So, but start there, right? Start by asking, what is it that we would do in your mind? What would you want to do with me if I didn't go to church or go to adoration or whatever? And then make plans to do that. In addition to continuing your faith practices, right? But the second thing is, when he teases you about the faith or gives you a hard time about it, I think it's okay to say, you know, I've realized that for a long time that not just about faith, but really anything that's important to me that's not important to you, instead of trying to understand what's good about it and really respect me for what I see as good about it, you either ignore it or you resist it or you make fun of me for it. And I think that's a real wedge in our relationship because I don't feel respected. And I'm not saying that you intentionally are disrespecting me, but it is disrespectful. And I'd really love for us to be able to get past that. You know, do you think that you'd be willing to try to understand what's good about the things that I find good or interesting about the things that I think are interesting?
Not faith, just faith, the faith.
Faith and other stuff, too.
But other stuff.
You know, because you just generally don't. You know, if I love something and you don't, you just either dismiss it or resist it or make fun of me for it. And it really breaks my heart. And I don't think I ever really realized it because we were always so busy. But now that we're spending more time together, I'm seeing it. And it's kind of keeping us apart from each other. And I'd really like to figure out how to fix that. What do you think? See what he says about that. You know, really address it head on. And if you'd like more personalized support to kind of get through that either on your own or with him, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I think these two suggestions will get you started, really asking him what it is that he would imagine you guys doing together if you weren't spending this time at church, and then making plans to do those things in addition to continuing your faith practices, but then challenging him a little bit more directly in a charitable, kind way, in a curious way, where you really want to know, you know, how to address the fact that in general, he really has a hard time trying to appreciate the things that you appreciate. And if there are any differences, you know, his tendency to just dismiss or ignore or reject you, and how much that really hurts, and invite him to work on that with you. And thank you so much for the call. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com or call us back here on the show with whatever happens once you have those conversations with him.
Yes, let us walk the next steps with you so that you really can find a more enriched, more beautiful marriage in the midst of all of this.
Good stuff. As we're heading out to a break, we want to send out some congratulations to another EWTN radio partner.
Trinity Catholic Radio, serving Carroll, Iowa, is celebrating 20 years with us this week.
Sending out congratulations to Dave Prenger and Kelly Foley and their great team at KYMJ from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you're supporting that station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, because we want to support you and all the people you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Thanks again to Dave Prenger and Kelly Foley at KYMJ and all the folks who make Catholic Radio possible, especially you, the listener. As we're heading to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect.
We pick this verse because it goes back to our reflection at the beginning of the show. It talks about what the point of faith is. You know, what is God using our faith to do? He's using it to bring all the broken pieces of our life and relationships together. And that's why faith can cause conflict in our hearts or in our homes or in our extended life, because faith shines a light on the parts of our life that really aren't working the way God wants them to.
Or can work a whole lot better.
If we cooperated with His grace. And so if you're having faith struggles, whether that's internal struggles with doubts or struggling to feel God's presence or know His love or hear His voice or know His will, or those are external struggles, how faith is complicating your life or your relationships, don't see that as a failure. Don't see that even really as a problem, per se. See it as an invitation that God is saying, I want to pour my grace into that wound. I want to bring those broken parts together. I want to help you heal those hurts and address those divisions. Let me teach you and let Him into your heart.
And I love the fact that this scripture says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, there are a lot of us who, you know, might get caught up in a little bit of pride and say, oh, I'm great. I'm Catholic. I go to Mass all the time. I do my rosary. I whatever. I'm fine. I've had my faith for X amount of time and I'm great. No, we're always called to be renewing our mind, going deeper in the Holy Spirit, deeper in our relationship with God, allowing Him to reveal more of Himself to us and make us more like Him all the time. You know what? If I cleaned my house once and said, well, I cleaned it. It was clean 3 weeks ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. Would it still be clean? No. If I said, well, I got the oil changed on the car 5 years ago. Why is it breaking down now? Why isn't it working as well? We need to be renewing our minds. And when we do, and we allow the Holy Spirit deeper into our lives to renew us, to change us, to help us to grow in God, that's when that can resonate out to the other people and relationships that we have in our life. So take heart in this scripture today. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you'd like to meditate on that on your own.
Amen. And when we come back, more with your calls on our show titled Fumbling Faith. As we talk about those struggles we all face in our spiritual walk, whether those are internal struggles about fears and doubts or external struggles where faith is complicating and bringing conflict to our life and relationships. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls in just a minute.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
What was Jesus' chief mission on earth? It was, the Catholic Catechism tells us, to achieve his Father's will, God's plan of salvation in the fullness of time. Jesus did this by preaching the good news, the arrival of the reign of God, which had been promised through the ages in Scripture. To fulfill the Father's will, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom is visible in the word and worship of Christ and in his presence in the church. The seed and beginning of the kingdom are the little flock Jesus gathered around him, the disciples and the 12 apostles with Peter as the head. They are the foundation stones of the new Jerusalem. The church is born primarily as a result of Christ's total self-giving. The origin and growth of the church are symbolized by the blood and water that flowed from the crucified Christ's side. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Fumbling Faith. We're talking about spiritual struggles, whether those are internal struggles with fears and doubts and questions, or we're talking about the ways that faith complicates our life and relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Natasha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Natasha, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. I have a question on how to help my daughter. She does not want to go to confession and is avoiding going back to church because she feels it would be dishonest. She has a boyfriend. She doesn't plan on stopping having, you know, premarital relations. Mm. So she thinks confessing would be insincere. And as a result, she has her faith, but she's avoiding going back to church because she says, well, I can't go to confession if I don't mean it. And so,
is she with these things, is she blowing you off, or is she really sincere about, look, I'm really in two different places here. There's a part of me that really wants to go to church and another part of me that doesn't want to do what the church says. Like, do you feel like it's a sincere struggle, or is she just saying that to get you off her back?
No, she brings it up, actually. So, no.
Okay, cool.
I think it is a sincere struggle.
All right. Well, that's great. So, let me address it from this perspective. Now, obviously, right? We that's a serious sin. And you know, she should not go to confession. Communion, as long as she is engaging in that kind of a sin. It's a very serious sin, and we need to be in a right place before we receive the Eucharist.
That doesn't mean she shouldn't go to Mass. That just means she should refrain from receiving the Eucharist.
But, having said that, I think it's helpful to understand sin in terms of a sickness. There are sort of two ways that the church looks at sin, right? So there's the more Western church way, the Roman way of looking at it as more as kind of breaking the law. And then there's the Eastern Church, the Byzantine way of kind of looking at it as more of an illness. And I think it's helpful to look at it from that perspective of an illness, because we don't want to be sick. We are sick, and you know, when we have an illness, and we want to get better, but we can't forcibly make ourselves well. I can't just will myself to be well, right? I need to go to the doctor. I need to take the medicine. I need to do the treatment plan that helps me get better. And that's what the sacraments are. That's what participating in spiritual practices in general are. They're the medicine that the divine physician gives us to heal the struggles that we're having internally, the sins we're wrestling with, the doubts that we're having, the stumbling that we engage in. If your daughter's really serious about this conflict, good. I mean, that question about how, you know, on the one hand, I want to sleep with my boyfriend because I love him and I have these feelings. On the other hand, I want to do what God wants me to do. I mean, St. Augustine struggled with a very similar kind of thing, right? He prayed, God, give me chastity, but not yet. I mean, you know, your daughter's in good company, right? And so, you know, sharing this with her and saying, look, you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to promise to never do anything wrong ever again. Sin is an illness. We all are affected by this illness, and God is the divine physician who wants to give you the medicine to help you heal and to walk with you through this. And even though it feels dishonest and even though it feels disingenuous, God wants you to bring that conflict to him and keep saying, Lord, help me bring these parts of my life together. I don't know how to do it. You know, she's no more responsible for the struggle that she's facing than anybody else who has a physical illness. Like with anybody who has a physical illness, she can cooperate with her treatment. Right, she can take her medication, she can do the therapy, she can go to the doctor's appointments.
She can cooperate with her physician the same way she can cooperate with the divine physician
by going
in
to
the sacrament of reconciliation.
Her prayers and participating in the sacraments as best she can, and really just bringing that broken part and those struggling parts of her heart to God. And she recognizes the conflict and the disingenuousness, and that's all true, but that's part of the illness, that God wants to help her heal in his time. And she needs to be aware that of his mercy and know that to not approach this as some kind of a promise that I'm never going to mess up again, but as a desire to be healed from the inside out of this tension, this conflict, these fears, these doubts, all the struggles that she's having, that all of us have. So I want you to normalize that struggle and really reframe this as God wanting to heal those parts that she feels uncomfortable with and doesn't know how to fit together in her life.
Natasha, I'd also like you to be able to have some conversations with her. You know, don't just throw it at her in one big heap, but really have conversations with her about the difference between real love and use. Because she may not really understand. She may have a very worldly perspective of what love means in this generation, which means you share each other's bodies without the benefit of marriage, blah, blah, blah. That's not real love. That's using each other to our own ends. That's treating the other like a thing. And it depletes each person in that situation who's being used by the other person. And really being able to explain to her, if you really love each other, you'll be working for each other's good and you'll be refraining from this so that you can have an authentic love and a commitment forever.
Well, I mean, look, why is premarital sex a sin? It's not because we're bad people doing bad things. It's because we're settling for less than what God wants to give us, right? Sin, the word sin comes from a Greek word, hamartia, that means missing the mark. It's an archery term. It means that we were shooting at a target of love and we missed the target. You know, that we were shooting at the target that God said, this is how I want you to love, not because you're following the rules, but because when you love this way, you live and you thrive and you can live a more abundant and fulfilling and joyful life. And when you don't do this, then you miss that target and you end up with problems and difficulties and struggles that I don't want you to have. You know, so the reason it's a sin is because she's settling for less than God wants to give her.
But Shane, I don't think she necessarily knows what God wants to give her. There is a wonderful book that you should be reading, Natasha, to give you these words to talk to her with. It's called Real Love. It's by Mary Beth Bonacci. It's a brilliant book. And it really does help give very practical explanations of the difference between this kind of false using thing that goes on and what real love really is and what your daughter should be striving for herself and for this other person if she really does feel she loves him.
The book was originally written for teens and young adults, but your daughter is a young adult, but I think it would help give you some of the language to really have more meaningful conversations about why what your daughter is doing is problematic. Not because she's breaking the rules and not willing to promise to follow the rules moving forward, but because God wants to give her so much more, and she's settling. And that settling is a symptom of the illness of sin that causes us to miss the mark when we're shooting at how God wants us to love and be loved. And the sacraments and spiritual practices are all the treatment for that illness that the divine physician gives us. And we're no more responsible for being sick than anybody else who has a physical illness, but we are responsible for cooperating with the treatment. We can do that. And then God can do the healing from the inside out. Thanks for the call, Natasha. If there's more we can do to support you or your daughter through these challenges, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're having some spiritual struggles, whether that's internal struggles or the ways that your faith is complicating your life or relationships, let's work it out together at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life. CatholicCounselors.com.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.